I'm really excited about this evening, and I'm excited for what we're going to talk about in the next kind of few minutes, because I think it could be really helpful for some people. What I want to do is I want to approach the topic of doubt. And I think if you anywhere along the journey of following Jesus, you will have encountered doubt. And I think it carries some really negative stereotypes, some negative thinking. I'm hoping to maybe break down some of that tonight. But as we do that, I'm just more than just a good practical message. I'm really hoping that God's working in your heart this evening. So would you just, whatever that looks like, would you just maybe make that internal decision that I'm open to what God has to say to me tonight, that I'm not going to be a closed book, that I'm going to be open to that, whether I'm brand new or whether I've been on the journey for donkey's ages. I'm ready for what you have to say to me this evening, God. Have you ever had an experience that has been too good to be true? Have you ever bumped into something like that? Maybe you got an email from a prince and it just so happens that you're related to this person who is from a totally different geological kind of place in the world. You got no heritage there, but they say they need you to give this massive inheritance to. Has anyone ever been like that? Like, is that just me? And my life has never been the same since I inherited that. Since I replied and said, thank you, Sven. I'm so glad that you've reached out to me about my uncle in Norway, which I have no family ties to, but I'm so grateful. You know that thing that it's just too good. It's too good to be true. You see it and you're like, wouldn't it be nice? Like, let's be honest. When you see the scam emails, don't you wish it was true? Like, it isn't, like, we know it's not, but wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if someone just reached out and was like, hey, just so you know, you've got $1 million. Like, that would be amazing. I'm not alone in thinking that, right? I think there's so many things in life that it's like, oh, I just wish that was true. I might have told you this before, but I have a weird reoccurring dream that has now gotten to the point that I'm aware it's a reoccurring dream, but now in the dream, I start thinking, ah, this is a dream, and then I go, it's not, it's finally real. Every time I have this dream, I become aware of the fact that I'm in a dream, but then somehow I'm like, I'm not. Like, I know I always dream about this, but this time is the time. It's a silly dream. The dream is that, I like riding mountain bikes, the dream is that I can just ride on one wheel forever. It's a very wholesome kind of dream, isn't it? But it's great. And I have this dream and I just like pop a mono, you know, and I'm just sitting on it doing this wheelie. And I'm like, ah, oh, I always have dreams like this that I can wheelie forever. And then 2 seconds later, I'm like, it's real. It's happened. It's actually happened this time. And then I wake up and I'm like, I conquered the wheelie. And then I'm like, oh no, got me again. Too good to be true. I'm sure we've all experienced that stuff. I don't know if you've ever experienced something like that in your faith journey, where it's some things about God are so good that in a world that's increasingly skeptical, he can seem too good to be true, if we're honest. I think if God doesn't sometimes seem too good to be true, you need a bigger picture of God. Like, if you're like, oh, no, God's like that. It's like, oh, he's really big. And he's really, really good. And if I'm honest, a little too good. Like, it's kind of hard to believe. Like, so many things about God seem good, too good to be true. Like, honestly, unconditional love for me seems just, I really want to believe it, but sometimes seems a little bit too good to be true. Jesus risen from the grave, alive, conqueror of death, the ultimate sign that death no longer has the final say in my life, that I can live a life that's to the full. Sounds so good. A little too good. Maybe a little too good to be true. A God who heals, miracles that were just, it was one way one day and it was another way the next. Can I be honest? Sometimes it can be hard to believe that God is really that good. Am I alone? Should they have not given me the microphone? Everyone's like, oh, dang, that is too good to be true. I'm out. Please don't do that. That wouldn't be good. Can I just say, if those things have ever been or sounded too good to be true, you are not alone. you're in good company. We have all wrestled with doubt. And hopefully, in some ways, we are all wrestling with doubt. Because often faith requires us to wrestle with our doubts. And I want to read the story this evening from John 20. And over the next few weeks leading up to Pentecost, which is 50 days from Easter, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at what Jesus was doing between the time that he rose from the grave and was walking alive and then ascended to heaven. Because it's a short period of time, and he was very intentional about it. And I think it's important that we look at what God, what Jesus was concerned with in those very few days. Because if you know you've got a few days, you don't walk around just doing random stuff. Jesus didn't rise from the grave and he's like, gee, I'm really craving a slushy. Like, he's like, I have limited time here, and it's worth studying to think that historically, thousands of years ago, this was such a time of doubt and faith. Jesus appearing to people, people hearing about Jesus, deciding whether they would believe or not. So we come to John 20, verse 24 to 29, and we're going to read about someone who I think gets a bit of a bad rap. Like this, have you ever done something and then you've gotten known for that? Like, does anyone have a nickname that you got because of one thing you did one time? I just think of Sarte Dave. Dave went, told me like Sarte, he'll forever be Sarte Dave to me. I've never seen him eat Sarte food. He goes to the gym way more than he eats Sarte, but he's Sarte Dave. Like, and if I was to say the word doubt, who do you think of when you think of doubt in the Bible? Thomas, right? Doubting Thomas. This poor dude. As far as we're aware, this is the only time he doubts. But he gets this rap where it's like, don't be like doubting Thomas. But can I suggest that I think we're all a bit like doubting Thomas? And I don't know if it's fair. John 20, verse 24 to 29. I'm just going to read 24 and 25 now. It says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, fun fact, one of the 12s, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. He's saying, I'll believe it when I see it. I can't trust it until I've tested it. I'll have faith for it when I feel it. I won't believe it until I see it. That's what I want to talk about this evening. I'll believe it when I see it. Turn the person beside you and say, I'll believe it when I see it. Believe it when I see it. Maybe you've said that to someone who maybe over-promises, under-delivers. You know, the kind of person. They're like, yeah, I'm going to be there. And it's like, I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah. They RSVP and you're like, I know that's a 50-50. Like, it's actually probably more of a 90-10. Like, maybe I'll believe it. I'll believe it when I see it. But can anyone relate to Thomas? Like, I have been there where I felt like I really want to believe that's true, but I kind of have to wait till I see it to believe it. Like, I really want to believe that. I just don't know if I can. And can we just be fair to Thomas? Because Thomas gets a bad rap here. Everyone else sees Jesus. It says that Jesus appears to them. He shows them the holes in his arm, the holes in his side, and they come back and they're like, we've seen you. Poor Thomas was the only one that missed out. Like, put it in that context. This poor guy, everyone else saw it. But, oh, no, Thomas, he had to see it. No, everyone else had to see it before they believed it. Gets a bad rap. But we've all experienced that feeling of doubt. And what I want to encourage us with tonight, and one of the really key things we're going to talk about, is doubt is not as much a problem as how you deal with it. Like, having doubt is not as much a problem as how you deal with it. It's okay to have doubt. What matters is how we respond to doubt. What do we do when we doubt? What do we do with our doubt? And I just want to look at a couple of things from this story, a couple of things that Thomas, I think, actually does well. And I think we could actually learn from Thomas here. The first thing, if you're wrestling with doubt, can I encourage you? Speak out your doubt. if you're wrestling with doubt, speak out your doubt. Turn the person beside you and say, speak out your doubt. Because we're going to get more interactive than the Wiggles this evening, okay? Speak out your doubt. Turn the other person and say, speak out your doubt. Little Wiggles. Can I be honest? I think that there's been, whether actually or just in a perceived way, we've all kind of been told to keep our doubts to ourselves at some point. That doubt is a private struggle. Don't share it, or you might make someone stumble. Keep, if you struggle, if you got a question, we can't ask those questions. I think church in general has a bit of a bad history for shutting down question asking. Like, you cannot ask that question here. We don't ask those questions, we just believe. Which is ironic, looking at Jesus, who as a boy is in the temple, and it says they're amazed by the questions that he asked. About here, keeps the conversation about Jesus going on. Speak out your doubt. We've been told keep your doubts to yourself. But look at Thomas. He very, very blatantly speaks out his doubts. And like, think about this. He's not just saying that he doubts that Jesus has risen. He's saying he doubts his friends that he's been doing with life with are telling him the truth. Like, to his face, he's like, I don't believe, one, what you're telling me. Two, I don't believe you. He's vocalizing. He's speaking out his doubt. But can we be honest? I think it's actually so healthy that he's got a group of people that he trusts enough to be open with about his doubts. Like, it's so much more healthy for Thomas to say, I'm not sure I believe that, than for Thomas to say, okay, wow, yeah, I believe that, but not, if that makes sense. Like, okay, like, I'm just gonna go with the flow, rather than actually wrestling with his doubt. Be honest with people around you if you've got doubt. Not with everyone, but with people you care about. With people who care about you. With people who are a friend to your future. Sometimes it's actually important that we speak out our doubt. That we actually talk to people. To be honest about how we're feeling with people who are on the journey with us. If I can be honest, it really grieves me to see the amount of people that leave churches because they felt like they had questions that they couldn't ask. They had questions that maybe they asked, they got shut down, or they just have questions that they feel they can't ask. That's not how it's meant to be. We're meant to ask questions. We're meant to be perceiving. God's not upset with you for using the mind that he gave you. If you're thinking about stuff, God's not like, whoa, where'd that come from? He's like, yes, I gave you a mind. Think about it. For some of us, maybe we need to think about some stuff some more. Because when we wrestle with doubt, sometimes we end up with a more profound truth. We actually end up with more faith when we wrestle with our doubt, when we fight for our doubt, than if we just blatantly accept everything that comes our way. Ephesians 5:13 says this, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. I think without doubt, sometimes we've got to bring it into the light. We've actually got to talk to someone about that. There's actually power in just taking something that's hurting you inside, or you're struggling with out inside, and bringing it into the light and being honest with someone. Because in the dark, things tend to fester, right? Things tend to not get healthy in the dark. But this is saying stuff that's brought into the light, it's saying here actually becomes a light. I really believe for some people, like, the biggest doubts that you've been struggling with are going to become the biggest points of your faith, where you've actually got authority to speak into that, to lead people through it, to encourage people with it, because you struggled with the same thing. There's a space for doubt in community. Thomas expresses his doubt. And what I love, as we're going to read, a week later, he's still with them. This kind of story is spread over 2 weeks. He expresses his doubt, and then we see Thomas still with them a week later. He wasn't ostracized by the group for having doubt. And that, again, what he did was confrontational, to say the least. Imagine if I come up to Josh and I'm just, dude, I've seen God do this, and it's amazing. He's like, I don't believe you. It's like, there would be some kind of sting to that, right? The disciples are like, we've seen Jesus. All he talked about is true. He's alive again. And Thomas is like, nah. I'll believe it when I see it. But they didn't ostracize him. Thomas didn't ostracize himself. He didn't say, I don't belong here because I don't believe the same thing as these people, he actually stayed a part of community. He didn't hit a point of doubt and withdraw. He hit a point of doubt and in some ways was still leaning in. He was still showing up. And that, my second thought with doubt is, don't let doubt push you away. Let it draw you in. When you've got doubt, there's two ways you can respond: to let it push you away or to let it draw you in. If we read the rest of the story, it says a week later, like I just mentioned, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Again, that thought just blows my mind a little bit, that Thomas is still there. Like, you've already said you don't believe, but he's still there. And says, though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger in here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus responds to Thomas's doubt. And don't you love that about Jesus? That Jesus' response to Thomas saying, I'll believe it when I see it, is to go, okay, here I am. Here's the wound in my side. Here's the holes in my arms. Jesus is drawn in by Thomas's leaning in, if I can put it that way. His doubt led to an encounter because, again, he didn't give up. He just kept showing up. He showed back up. I want to encourage us that doubt doesn't have to be a barrier to faith. Doubt can actually be an invitation to go deeper. If I have a doubt, it's not like, oh no, now what do I do? It's probably that God wants to show you something in that space. If I'm really wrestling with that, there's probably something in it. There's probably something that God wants to speak to you about. There's probably some restoration that God wants to do. There's probably some healing that God wants to do. There's probably a truth that God wants to so solidify in you that it changes something, which is what we see with Thomas, who then goes on to give his life proclaiming this truth. He was so radically moved by what he experienced, by where doubt had turned to truth, that he was willing to die for it. And I think that there's this aspect of, if we will wrestle with our doubt, if we'll let it draw us in rather than pushing us away, that's a space that God wants to do something really powerful. It doesn't have to be a barrier, it's an invitation to go deeper. Again, the question is how we respond. Will it draw us in? Will it push us away? If I hit a doubt and it pushes us away, it's, oh, I don't feel like I belong because I don't believe the same thing. I don't know if I can pray anymore because I've just hit this space. I just don't know if I can read my Bible because I just don't know if it's actually God that's speaking to me. Or we can let it draw us in. I'm going to lean in. I'm going to sing those songs. I'm going to sing the words to that song, even though I haven't seen that myself. Even though I haven't quite felt that yet, I'm going to make that my truth. I think it's really important that we remember when it comes to faith, that it's a journey, not a destination. Faith is not somewhere you arrive. Faith is something that you journey through. You don't just show up and it's like, oh, now I've got faith. Now I just believe it all. Never have any doubt. No, actually the way you get to faith is often through the doorway of doubt. Through the barrier of doubt, it's an invitation to step into faith. It's a process of choosing to trust God over and over and over again. Doubt isn't a time to panic. It's a time to press in, to ask questions, to seek, to speak to someone, to limit a bash your car like someone out the back is doing there. Sick. What a mad lad. Doubt is an invitation to seek on a different level. And I just really felt, if you hear anything this evening, if you're here and this resonates with you, and doubt is something you wrestle with, I actually just really want to applaud you because you showed back up. You're here even though you're wrestling with doubt. And that's exactly where you need to be. That shows that actually you have more faith than you have doubt. If you're here, your faith is very healthy because you decided, I am going to keep showing back up. Let me applaud you because you stayed on the journey. Your doubt is not as much an issue to God as it is to you. You might feel like it's a big deal. God is very comfortable with journey. God is very comfortable as we journey through our doubt, can I encourage you, you are right where you need to be. And can I encourage you that this is a safe place to ask questions. And let me speak on behalf of our community and to our community, this is a safe place to ask questions. Let's not be people who are shutting stuff down and, oh, you just need to have more faith. No, look, it's okay to let people journey. It's okay to ask questions. We need to sometimes speak our doubt just so people can get around us and encourage us. Not so much get around us to persuade us, but get around us just so that we're in people's presence. Because doubt's not something you should be struggling with in the doubt. It needs to be in the context of community. Don't let your doubt push you away. Let it draw you in. The final thing, and which is probably challenging about this, Jesus responds to Thomas's doubt, which is beautiful, right? It's like Thomas is like, I doubt, unless I see this, I won't believe it. Jesus shows up, gives him exactly what he's looking for. Jesus meets him in the exact place that his doubt is. He doesn't say, well, Thomas, you should just believe. I'm going to prove a point. Not going to show up. Make you choose to believe. But then he issues this really challenging statement to Thomas. He responds to Thomas's doubt. Thomas's doubt is so important to him that in his limited time before he ascends to heaven, he says, I'm going to make a point of going to Thomas, dispelling his doubt and saying and showing him that you can trust me. But then he says this, and Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Again, remember, everyone was in that boat. Everyone had seen him at that point in that room. Because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, yet have believed. You've seen me because you've believed because you've seen, but blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe. And what this is saying is not, you're not blessed because you had to see. What it's saying is there is a special blessing and there is going to be a time where you actually have to choose that I'll believe it before I see it. I'll believe it before I see it. God wants to show you. He wants to reveal his truth to you. He wants to meet you in your place of doubt. But ultimately, faith, there's going to be a day where you have to choose that I have not seen this yet, but I will believe this. I have not seen God's goodness yet, but I know that I will. There's ultimately going to be times where we have to believe before we see. Evidence and signs might strengthen our faith, but they're not the most essential aspects of faith. The essential aspect of faith is trust. God, I trust you. Sign or no sign, hearing from God, not hearing from God, the question is, will you choose to trust? I think our world says with trust, wait till someone proves they're trustworthy, then give your trust. With faith, we kind of have to trust first, sometimes. Jesus is saying there's blessing there when you choose to trust when you haven't seen. Blessing not just as in some kind of momentary gift from God or some physical benefit, but a profound encounter of joy, fulfillment, hope. When I choose, I'm going to believe that even though I haven't seen it. When life is confusing, yet you choose to believe, you're blessed. When your feelings aren't there yet, but you believe, you're blessed. When God seems silent, but you keep believing, you're blessed. When the tears soak your pillow, yet you still believe, you're blessed. When faith comes before seeing, when faith comes before feeling, there is blessing there. And I think what it looks like is this attitude that David has in Psalm 27, verse 13. It says, I will remain confident of this. I'll remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will see it. I haven't seen it yet. I'm still waiting, but I will see the goodness of God. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. That's not what we want to hear, is it? Like, wait for God. Like, no. Come on, God. Hurry up. We live in this like instant world, right? Like, I hate waiting for anything. If I wait more than a couple of minutes, I'm impatient. Wait. Wait for the Lord. Choose to trust. I will see His goodness. I am confident. I haven't seen it, but I'm confident. I had this moment last night. We're down obviously at Upper Room, and we're kind of just like worshiping and singing a song I know well that kind of has, I guess, a part to the song that I haven't heard sung kind of corporately before. And I don't know if you've ever noticed, doubts come and go. Like sometimes you doubt the same thing that you've doubted before. Like, and you kind of have to process it on a new level. Like, I thought I got through that, but now I'm processing it again. And something happened to me last night that I don't even know if I was that aware of it, but I started to feel a little bit like, just like life was a bit, not even life, my life is awesome, but I'd started to feel like maybe my calling and what God was doing through me and that sense of excitement and excitement about what God was going to do through me in my life, it just started to feel a little like meh, like a bit mid or a bit vanilla. Like this sense of, I just am not so excited. And maybe I've actually seen it out. Like maybe I've done that big stuff that God wanted me to do. And then we were singing this song, and the lyrics go like this. It says, I've come a long way. I've seen how you work. There's so much goodness and grace, much more than I deserve. And as I was singing this, it was like something was happening in my heart. And then we sung the next part, which is much more than I, because I know who I am. And I can't stay where I'm at. We've come this far by faith, and I just can't turn back. And then the lyrics are, because He's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. There's so much more to this story. He's not done with me yet. And as we sung it, all this stuff just collided in a moment. And I realized I've been feeling a bit apathetic about my calling. But as I sung that out, I was actually able to hear it and be confident. God's not done with me yet. It was like in a moment, my confidence returned. God's not done with me yet. God's not done with me yet. There's so much more to my story. And as I sung it, I haven't seen it yet. I don't know what it looks like yet. I haven't felt it yet. But I had this moment of faith where doubt was dispelled and I wasn't doubtful of God's calling on my life. And I was so certain that God is not done with me yet. Friend, God is not done with you yet. You might not see it. You might not feel it, but He is not done with you yet. You might not feel like it. You might not see that. You might not feel loved. You might not feel a sense of purpose. You might not see that there's a better future ahead of you. But friend, would you choose to be confident this evening? Would you let God speak to you through my words that He's not done with you yet, that you can be confident that He's got a future for this, that I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of God. At the moment I see hurt, at the moment I see heartbreak, but I will see the goodness of God. I will see the goodness of God. That's faith, right? So that feeling is, man, I'm wrestling with doubt, but I will choose faith. I'll believe it before I see it. I'll believe it before I feel it. I'm sick, but I believe He is my healer. I'm still sick, but I believe He's my healer. I'm sad, but I will be comforted. I believe it. I will see His goodness. I'm distraught, but I will have peace. I will see peace. I will experience His peace. I feel unlovable, but I know I'm loved. I don't feel it, but I'll believe it before I see it. I'm done with, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it before I see it. That's where the blessing is. That's where hope returns. That's where joy returns. That's where confidence returns. I'll believe it before I see it. And man, I just think God is so good that when we believe it before we see it, when we choose to trust before we see it, there is blessing there. That becomes a strong point in our life. I think sometimes that's where God answers our prayer. When I don't need You to prove it to me, God, I will trust it. I think God's response is usually to prove it. when we let go of that need of, I need that affirmation. I need someone to tell me, no, I just trust that I'm affirmed by God. You know what usually happens after that is someone affirms you. Someone encourages you. Someone loves you. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Yes, there's doubts. No, you haven't seen it yet. But God is faithful. Wait. Wait and see. I'll believe it before I see it. I wonder if you've got people in your life that you're comfortable sharing your doubt with. Is there people on that on the journey with you that you're actually, you feel comfortable talking about that stuff? Again, people that are actually going to help you. Sometimes like talking about your doubt to someone who's been pushed away by doubt might not be that helpful. But someone who's actually going to encourage you. And again, not convince you. I don't think you can logic your way through doubt. You can really only trust your way through doubt. You can't out-logic doubt. I think you got to out-faith doubt. You got friends of your faith that you can talk to about doubt. We do this thing here, we call it life groups. We get together, we chat. That's a space for that. As we have drinks after the service, that's a space for that. To actually talk to someone that you trust. If you're not around a group, like, come and see me. I would love to help you get plugged into something like that where you can talk about that stuff. Just in our life group Thursday night, one of the boys came, read this scripture. I'm struggling to reconcile what this means. And we were able to just discuss it as a group. If you're dealing with this now, like, what's your attitude towards your doubt? Are you discouraged by it? Or are you letting it encourage you to seek and to lean in? I just feel like for tonight, like, hopefully there's some, you get a revelation that you don't have to be downcast about your doubt. That doesn't need to discourage you. Would you reframe your doubt as an invitation to experience God? Like, I'll trust in the meantime, but God, I know you're going to come through on this for me. I know I'll experience it. I know I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I know I'll see that. But the ball's in your court, God. And that's the best place for the ball to be honest, is in God's court. But God, I'm going to trust you. That's on you now. I don't have to make that happen. That's on you. I'd rather it be on God than be on me, if I'm honest. Is anyone else like that? I'd rather it be in God's court. Is it time to believe before you've seen? I just encourage, maybe there's something that you really just don't know. I haven't seen it. Maybe even something you had faith for that it's just got so hard believing it. I can encourage you, some of us tonight, we need to make that decision. I'll believe it before I see it. Which just looks like, yep, I'm confident. Don't know when, don't know how, don't know what it'll look like. But I trust God. I trust Him with that. Will we stand together this evening? And will we just, maybe just stand, I mean, if you're comfortable to put your hands out or to your side, just, especially if something this evening has been speaking to you. And just as we pray, like, maybe this is some time to do some business with God, where just you're making a decision on the inside. God, I'm putting that ball back in your court. Jesus, we thank you that you're good. We thank you that you're faithful. We thank you that doubt is not a dead end, that it's a doorway. It's a doorway to faith. It's a doorway to strength. And right now, God, make this prayer your own if this is you. We trust you with that thing, with that hurt, with that disappointment, with that failure. We trust you. And we're confident that we will see your goodness. Amen.